AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. An area north of Sacramento continues to burn, as CBS News correspondent Jonathan Bigdotti tells us.
In Northern California, fire, pushed by powerful winds, ripped through a community near the city of Chico. As thousands evacuated, the fire engulfed everything in its path, leaving a trail of devastation.
As evacuations continued there, some Oregon residents were cleared to return home after a thunderstorm dropped welcome rain, but also potentially dangerous lightning on the biggest active blaze in the United States at the Oregon-Idaho border. California Governor Gavin Newsom has issued an executive order to remove all homeless encampments across his state. CBS News Los Angeles reporter Chris Holmstrom explains one part of how that will work.
State agencies are now urged to partner with local governments to facilitate shelters and other supportive services before removing encampments.
Newsom issued his order after the Supreme Court ruling, which gave states the power to do so. Two powerful drug cartel leaders are under U.S. arrest. Chris Fox gets us up to date.
According to the U.S. Justice Department, El Mayo Zambada, a believed leader of Mexico's Sinaloa cartel, and Joaquin Guzman Lopez, the son of cartel co-founder El Chapo, were arrested by U.S. authorities in Texas. Both are facing multiple charges in the U.S. for leading the cartel's criminal operations, including fentanyl manufacturing and trafficking networks. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland saying in a statement, fentanyl is the deadliest drug threat our country's ever faced. The U.S. government offered $15 million for information leading to Zambada's capture. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Families of Americans held hostage by Hamas met at the White House with President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. This man urged immediate action.
The urgency, and we expressed it multiple times today to both leaders, it's so critical that everything will be done as if there's no tomorrow.
His family member is one of eight Americans among the 115 hostages still held by Hamas. Netanyahu also met with Vice President Harris and will meet Friday with former President Donald Trump at his home in Florida. Next time you fly with discount airline Southwest, you're going to see some changes. The carrier says they're going into effect because of what customers are telling them they want.
After doing research, the airline found 80% of its own customers preferred a seat assignment. And the number one reason for people to leave Southwest Airlines to fly somebody else was a seat assignment.
CBS News transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump are tied in Wisconsin in the first poll here since President Biden dropped out. The Emerson poll has Trump and Harris deadlocked at 47% in a head-to-head matchup. Emerson finds Senator Tammy Baldwin leading Eric Hovde 49-43. Wisconsin is investing in its rural agricultural roads. James Kelly reports.
The funding is part of the first round of awards through the Agriculture Roads Improvement Program, which will provide nearly $50 million for rural road projects across the state.
It's James Kelly reporting. The spending will support 37 projects across 28 Wisconsin counties. The projects are aimed at helping Wisconsin's agricultural industries by boosting infrastructure critical to moving products, crops, and livestock. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Concern for Christian Yelich. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers battled back to beat the Cubs 3-2 at Wrigley Field to win the series in Chicago. So for the season, the Brewers and Pat Murphy had an overall record of 8-5 against the Cubs and manager Craig Counsell. But the team placing Christian Yelich on the 10-day injury list while he seeks medical advice for his sore back, he may end up with season-ending surgery. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, like I said, you know, losing Christian's huge. Could be devastating, but this team hasn't been devastated by much. lunch. You know, they kind of, I really appreciate that. I'm grateful that you have a group. Again, I keep saying this, this game's about people.
The Brewers return home. They open a 3-game series against the Marlins tomorrow night. And the team has signed Jaden Fielder to a minor league deal. The 19-year-old infielder from Florida is the son of Prince Fielder. NFL talks between the Packers and the agents for Jordan Love continue. Meanwhile, tomorrow morning is the Packers' first training camp practice in pads, open to the public at 10:30 with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price of the Overnight. Clear skies, but a little patchy fog will be possible. Mid-50s by sunrise or winds very light. On Friday, after the morning fog possibility, we'll see sunshine and those hazy skies continue, highs in the lower 80s. It's 60 at our studios.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. A great end of the week show. It is John Roach, columnist and Renaissance man, along with Peter Rapine. Week in Review. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Very, very busy show. Lots of guests today. Dr. Kristen Lyerly coming up at 10:33. Kelly Nelson, the Pewaukee Public Library in the 11 o'clock hours. Sports with J.R. Radcliffe. Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. Lots of stuff we're going to be covering today. Very excited to start off the top of the show with U.S. Representative from the 2nd District in Wisconsin, Democrat Mark Pocan is here. Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Very glad to be here.
Well, a lot has happened in the last time we talked.
Oof, yeah. Man. I'm tired.
I think we're all tired. I do want to play a little clip from President Biden's speech last night from the Oval Office in which he explained why he is stepping aside and running for re-election. Calvin, could we play that clip, please?
I revere this office, but I love my country more. It's been the honor of my life to serve as your president. But in the defense of democracy, which is at stake, I think it's more important than any title. I draw strength and I find joy in working for the American people. But this sacred task of perfecting our union is not about me. It's about you, your families, your futures. It's about we, the people. We can never forget that. And I never have.
President Biden last night issuing an address from the Oval Office. I watched the entire speech, Representative Pocan, and I thought it was just pitch perfect.
Yeah, we owe him an enormous debt of gratitude. In Washington, much less in Wisconsin, for someone to say they're putting their country before their own personal ambitions is pretty much unheard of, right? Yeah. It's like a flying fire-breathing unicorn, right? We just don't have people like that. And he did the exact right thing. Unfortunately, he got to be president very late in life. Perception from the debate was becoming reality. And fair or not, he did the right thing. And we can already see the difference it's making. But let's just remember one very, very important thing. That night at the debate, people weren't happy with the two candidates. They still have one candidate they're not happy with, Donald Trump. We have a different candidate on the Democratic side, and I think that's going to speak volumes. There's a reason why Donald Trump is afraid to debate Kamala Harris right now, and we need to really make sure that everyone understands that it's Donald Trump's Project 2025 agenda versus what Democrats are campaigning on, and there's a stark contrast.
Who's the old guy now?
Exactly.
And I know, Representative Pocan, you took some heat when you had made some suggestions that you thought that it was time for President Biden to step aside. But obviously, you'd been hearing from a lot of your constituents and their concerns after that debate.
hundreds and hundreds of people. I don't think I didn't get a personal contact for an hour or two over a three-week period that someone didn't reach out to me, much less to the office about it. And everything was with great respect for the president, but concerned that if Donald Trump became president with his agenda, which he now has, he didn't have when he became president last time, this time he's got Project 2025, mm-hmm. and we know how bad that is. People were just so afraid. And I think, you know, there are a couple things that week that really made me get to the point that I needed to say that with the most respect for the president. But, you know, we needed to be able to convey what we were hearing back home. And again, you know, he did the absolute right thing. And he's going to go down in history for a number of reasons, extremely accomplished and being a president that, you know, put his country before his own self-interest. And all of those things are unique.
I mean, those are some of the qualities they attributed to George Washington. He could have kept being the president with no end in sight. And he said, no, it's time for me to stop. And Congressman, on Sunday when he announced, there was this nervousness. We knew it could be coming. And we're like, oh, what are we going to do? By the end of the day and into Monday, I felt so energized and so excited that I was telling people, like, I'm having a really good Monday, and it's just a Monday. And it was because she had announced, Joe Biden supported it. Everyone was just feeling good. I'm talking to all sorts of people who are saying, like, it has changed their viewpoint of this election. And I imagine you're getting this. I mean, even from what I'm hearing, you're hearing tenfold from people around you.
The energy is amazing. You know, before I left Monday to come here on Tuesday, I was thinking about staying to go to Milwaukee on Tuesday, but they still, as of 11:30 in the morning, because I had to leave by 11:45 to get a plane, they still didn't know if it was going to be 1 o'clock or 6 o'clock. And they didn't have a location. With 24 hours notice, 3,000 people came to Milwaukee. That is an excitement level that you don't just, you know, create. It's there. It's part of the ether because of what happened. And I think, you know, that is what we needed. Again, going into this campaign, there's about 100 days, give or take, that are left. But, you know, I have full confidence in the fact that they're saying awful things like she's a diversity, equity, and inclusion hire. She was the district attorney for one of the largest cities in America, attorney general for the state of California, a U.S. senator from the state of California, which, by the way, is about a sixth of the country, and a vice president.
Yeah.
You know, if that's a diversity and equity hire, you know, I just think the outrageousness of their racism and sexism is deafening.
Well, and now the contrast, I think, is even starker. After President Biden gave his address last night from the Oval, all I could think of was if Donald Trump were ever forced, because he would never willingly step aside for anything, but were he ever forced to make a speech like that, it would be all about, you are the dumbest people in the world. America's a stupid country. You're going to regret it. Have a good life. You're going to miss me. I mean, again, the difference in messaging could not be more apparent.
It's the difference between a statesman and a crazy man.
Yeah. And now they have the old crazy man. He'll be the oldest president to ever have been in office if he gets elected, Trump, and he'll also be the craziest. So, you know, there's a couple records he could get that I don't think the American people want.
Yeah.
Our guest, if you're just joining us, is U.S. Representative Mark Pocan, representing Wisconsin's 2nd District here in the state, talking about President Biden announcing on Sunday that he will not be seeking a second term and endorsing a Vice President Kamala Harris, who, as we mentioned, just has done gangbusters in the last couple of days, not just with grassroots fundraising, but getting people excited to register to vote.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's something like 48,000 people have signed up to vote in the last couple of days.
Yeah. No, and this is a real contrast, right? I mean, they no longer can say, you know, because before they were two older Americans that were running, but I think, you know, Donald Trump gets judged as an entertainer rather than as a politician, and Joe Biden was being, you know, judged as a statesman, but people were concerned. The reality is now we have a real severe contrast between the two candidates, and I know by all the polling, people agree with us on the issues, and the more they find out about Trump's Project 2025, surveillance of women, I mean, go down the list of what they want to accomplish. This is a big state Republican Party that they want to have, and our country will not look the same, and more people are going to find out about this.
We've been talking about this for several months. We've had a number of guests on from National Security Leaders for America who've explained what this would mean on the ground and what these changes would mean for people's daily lives, and especially the Schedule F and being allowed to replace 50,000 or more civil servants with nothing but loyalists. And I equate this to, think of your least qualified cousin who's had a series of jobs over their life and maybe had a little time in jail for some misdemeanors, and he gets a job in the Trump administration in a high-level position. And that is literally what we're talking about.
It's a takeover. I mean, no one wants that. That's not something that's America, right? So I think people just need to know the particulars about that, and we will be in a good place.
We're going to shift to a little bit of J.D. Vance. We've only got about 3 minutes left, Mr. Pocan. Marjorie Taylor Greene, I call her Marjorie Taylor Howler Monkey Greene, but that's just me. Her boyfriend now says that he's concerned that Kamala Harris will pick someone like Gretchen Whitmer, and that's an estrogen-filled ticket, and that would be disastrous for the country.
Look, who they picked, J.D. Vance, I watched that speech that night. And by the way, I've kept the recording of it. So when I can't sleep at night, I play it because it was so incredibly boring. And, you know, I think my pillow guy could make a little money, you know, on the side.
I like that.
Doing just that. I'm going to help my pillow guy get out of debt. It was awful. And then you look at everything he's done. He does not connect with real people. I just didn't realize until this morning, you know, he's changed his name twice.
Right. Yeah.
Is not J.D. Vance. He's like, I don't know, Eddie Murphy or something originally. And then it moved a couple times. Like, this is a guy who is already odd by normal standards, much less now getting a chance to look at him as a potential president is a stretch.
Well, and now that Donald Trump is trying to back away, much like the abortion issue, they don't want to talk about that. Although the former president mentioned it in a rally yesterday, and we're going to talk to Dr. Lyerly about this. Abortion in the eighth, ninth, and after birth, which is not a thing, and we're going to clarify that. But J.D. Vance has written the foreword to Kevin Roberts from the Heritage Foundation's new book that's coming out. Heritage Foundation is behind Project 2025. And now, again, Donald Trump going, I've never heard of it. I don't know what's in it. I know there are some things in it I don't like, even though I don't know what's in it.
Yeah, no, they're trying to run away from it. In Wisconsin, Dirk Van Orden said that he's never read it. I do trust him on one thing. I believe he's never read, but I think he knows about Project 2025, and they're all trying to run away from it because they know that what was a covert agenda is now being exposed. So we're going to keep talking about it, and we're going to keep talking about what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris got done for getting us out of COVID, helping the economy, and I think that's a good contrasting message.
Our resident young person and producer behind the boards, Calvin, said Trump and Vance did an interview together on Fox, and when Trump was asked why he picked Vance, he rambled about how much J.D. likes him. And also, J.D. Vance was born James Donald Bauman. And he changed his name, and he changed his name again, and then he did some questioning about himself, and then he turned into the person he is, with basically wearing, he's a fleece-wearing guy who has a computer brain.
And who knows where he'll be in a couple more years.
Right?
Exactly.
Exactly. Opportunist. He's just an opportunist.
He will blow with the wind. And yes, he has the firm convictions of whatever is the most bendable. Representative Mark Pocan, representing Wisconsin's 2nd District, thank you so much for carving out some time for us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate it as always.
Have a great day. We are going to continue talking about the Republicans' vice presidential pick, Mr. Vance, Mr. Bauman, take your pick. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This whole week, I've been trying to think of some maneuver I could say that would go viral and totally sell my soul for extra cash. I'm not putting myself above that.
How about Schwabba Habba? Or Schwabidada? Or Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong? Instead of the more you know, it just says Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong with a rainbow and a star shooting star.
Conrad, I think we got our promo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Dancing alone? You're going to make me dance alone to this, you guys?
I feel like I should do the intro right now. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvin behind the boards. And I'm telling you right now, this is the reason why you need to be on the live stream on Facebook, X, Twitter, whatever you call it, or YouTube, because you are missing, my friends, the dancing of one Jane Dancing Queen Matt and Air.
I found this before we got on the air. It's from the Marsh family. I don't know who this
Marsh. Oh, the Marsh family. They're down the street.
They're so sweet. They're so sweet. It's mom and dad and the five kids.
Salt of the earth.
So they do this ABBA parody about J.D. Vance.
Yeah.
It's almost 4 minutes long.
And I listened to it twice, folks.
Because I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah. So I think we should just have that in the hopper, Calvin, from now on as a quick
when we're going to talk about the Republican vice presidential candidate.
Or just if we're feeling down.
A little pick-me-up. Just a little pick-me-up. I like that idea.
But speaking of J.D. Vance.
Yeah.
He's a record breaker. Did you know that, Jane?
What has he accomplished to this point in time?
Well, so as we all know, he was announced as the vice presidential pick for Donald Trump.
Yep.
People were excited for, like, I think, 10 minutes.
At least.
And since then, the polling, the general opinion has been bad. This article I found in Business Insider, the title is J.D. Vance Breaks Polling Records in the Worst Way. they said that J.D. Vance pick makes no sense from a statistical polling perspective, which is true. Because usually when you pick your vice president, there's a couple reasons why you want to do it. You want to energize it. You know, the Republicans in 2008 did that with Sarah Palin. They thought getting a woman from Alaska,
yes,
who is kind of like, she's got more energy and more life than John McCain.
Right.
That failed almost immediately. And with J.D. Vance, I think they thought, oh, we're going to get this young guy. He wrote a book. He's cool.
He's smart.
Yeah. But he doesn't bring him a state. Ohio is a red state. That doesn't get them anything.
Right.
And they're kind of finding out that there's not much behind the curtain there. He doesn't have a lot of strong convictions. He says he believes in things, but he doesn't. It's really just the fact that J.D. Vance will do whatever it takes. Because don't forget, folks, do not forget, in 2016, J.D. Vance's Twitter did not support Trump at all.
Not at all.
I mean, some incendiary things. America's Hitler comes to mind. And there's another quote from this is saying, we'd like to be the first to congratulate J.D. Vance on making history as the least popular VP pick. Well, ever.
And as you said, normally after the convention and after the official announcement of who the pick is, you get a bump in the polls.
Yeah, exactly. You ride a little wave for about a week and then it normalizes. Then you're off on the campaign.
Right.
But this, I mean, you had the assassination attempt and then the RNC and then the J.D. Vance pick. And that should have been their news cycle for a month.
Easily.
And it went away. It went away. And I'm going to say this. I don't think it went away because President Biden got out of the race. I think it went away because people just realized J.D. Vance is nothing but an empty shirt and doesn't bring a lot of excitement and energy to the ticket. And if you just Google replacing J.D. Vance, there are people out there who have tons of ideas on what could happen. And the question I have, and we wanted to ask Jim Santel this, is can they do it legally or whatever
because
you call
it? Because he's the official nominee.
He's the official nominee. And remember, when Biden stepped down, they lost their minds. They
were like, we're going to sue.
We're going to sue.
Yeah, but he's, yeah. Even though the Democratic National Convention hasn't happened yet.
Exactly. Can they replace J.D. Vance on the ticket? That's the big question for me. And yeah, he's just, he seems like the scuttlebutt is that Donald Trump is very unhappy with this.
That's such a shame.
What a shame. And the problem is the rumor, and I don't, and you know me, I don't like rumors, but Don Jr. picked J.D. Vance.
Well, and I found another article that it's the Broligarchs. He's calling them Broligarchs.
Oh, I hate that so much.
Elon Musk, David Sachs, and Peter Thiel are the ones who picked J.D. Vance. He's their guy.
Well, I thought
J.D. Vance is their guy.
That's weird. I read an article about Peter Thiel getting out of democracy.
You mean out of politics?
Politics. Well, that's what the title was. Oh. He wanted to get out of democracy.
So. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he sure. Sure.
Well,
sure.
And the thing with J.D. Vance is there's all kinds of sound clips coming up just within the last couple of years of things he has said that, I don't know, may not be particularly popular. We have played this one before, but I think it's worth remembering, ladies. Calvin, let's play that clip about childless cat ladies.
We're effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via our corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made. And so they want to make the rest of the country miserable, too. And it's just a basic fact. You look at Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, AOC, the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children. And how does it make any sense that we've turned our country over to people who don't really have a direct stake in it?
You're right. We have nothing. No, I don't care.
And also, Pete Buttigieg has two children.
He has two
That's
children.
A hard last name to say sometimes. And Kamala Harris has two stepchildren.
Well, and the other thing is, correct me if I'm wrong.
You're never wrong.
Well, I am. But up until this point in history, no president has ever given birth before.
No.
Is that accurate?
Correct.
They all 46 that went before.
Yes.
Did not give birth.
I still heard no proof about Buchanan. But yeah, you're right. I mean, and
okay, I'm just checking.
Yep. So far, no sitting president has ever physically birthed life.
Well, and the other thing I'd like to just throw in here quickly, because we're going to run out of time a little bit. When Representative Pocan was here in the first segment, we mentioned Marjorie Howler Monkey Taylor Greene. Her boyfriend, of course, who works for a far-right news outlet, said this once, not that long ago, quote, "Liberal women tend to be some of the ugliest women I've ever seen," he said, reporting from a Trump rally. "I mean, zero makeup. They take no pride in their dress, their attire, their makeup, their haircut. Half of them look like men. Hairy armpits, hairy legs. Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on, man. Shave them pits. I want to like you."
And he's also said, and this just surfaced, and he said this in 2021 while complaining about childless cat ladies, that parents who have children should be, so if you have five children, you should get to vote five more times for your children.
Yeah. That's
so democratic.
That's an interesting take on democracy.
Isn't it, though?
A Republican, the democratic process. That's so interesting. Of course you, because which side of the aisle likes to have all the children? The right side.
That's the only side.
It's true.
It's the only side.
Calvin says Mormon takeover incoming. Okay. I think it's ridiculous. And also, you know what? Honestly, whenever I hear that, I actually think about Kamala Harris's stepchildren being like just, you know. She has no children. Yes, she does. She has two children.
Well, and they're young adults.
Yeah. Yeah.
News is coming up next. And then when we return, we're going to talk to our friend, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. We'll be here. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. A California man is under arrest for allegedly sparking the largest wildfire in California so far this year. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is covering the blaze at Chico.
Fire crews are working overhead and on the ground. Thousands of people still under that mandatory evacuation that was set into place.
The Justice Department has picked up two leaders of a major Mexican drug cartel.
Attorney General Merrick Garland has confirmed the arrests of two of the most wanted and powerful drug lords in Mexico. The co-founder of the notorious Sinaloa cartel, Ismael Zambada García, known Guzman, Joaquin Guzman, were taken into custody near El Paso.
CBS News correspondent Manuel Bojorquez. Vice President Harris met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, saying it's time to get a deal done to get Hamas hostages released. And
I remain committed to a path forward that can lead to a two-state solution.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It'll take several weeks to fix an oil refinery near Chicago damaged by a tornado last week. In the meantime, fuel is being shipped north from the Gulf of Mexico. Gas prices should stay high in southeast Wisconsin in the meantime. A rare honor for a Wisconsin trailblazer. Here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
The new statue of L. Phillips is now officially on the Capitol steps. It took a task force 4 years to make it happen. If you don't know, Phillips was the first Black woman to graduate from UW-Madison Law School, the first person of color to become a judge in Wisconsin, and the first Black woman to hold statewide office. Right now, there's a tarp over the statue. The official unveiling ceremony is Saturday at 5.
Savannah Tomei Olson reporting. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Another season of horrible television is in the books after the Kardashians' season 5 finale. In riveting fashion, they all learn their biological ages, with O.J. Simpson's daughter Chloe learning that despite being 39, a TV quack doctor hired to protect the brand informed the least popular sister her biological age is actually 28. Whatever the hell that means. Other Kardashians who fared well were Mom Kris, who found out she's actually 6 years younger than her actual age of 68. Kim Kardashian's real age is 43, but her biological age is 34. No word on what any of their plastic surgery ages are. In other news from the season finale, Kim Kardashian joked that after watching The Crown, she can totally rule a country, saying she's learned so much from a TV show. She felt the same way about boating after watching Gilligan's Island. Kardashian says she's excited to enter the actress phase of her career, seeming to forget she did a few very low-budget independent films years ago that launched her career. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, clear skies, but a little patchy fog will be possible. Mid-50s by sunrise or winds very light. On Friday, after the morning fog possibility, we'll see sunshine and those hazy skies continue. Highs in the lower 80s. It's 60 at our studios.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
Randy Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, we visit with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel about legal issues surrounding this week's headlines and media coverage from Mark Jacob.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome, to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, Brewers in action tomorrow night, and we're going to be there.
I'm going to be there. You're going to be there. We're all going to be there.
If you want to catch the game, you can listen on WRJN in Racine, 99.9 FM, 1400 AM in Kenosha, 98.1 FM. And the game tomorrow night, Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM. The Marlins at the Crew, 6:35 tomorrow night. So make sure you listen and support the Crew. Very excited to have our next guest join us. And I saw this yesterday, and I wasn't even thinking about reaching out to you because you're busy. But I just wanted to share that Donald Trump was at a rally yesterday in North Carolina and, of course, has completely changed his rhetoric since the assassination attempt in Pennsylvania. That's not true. Of course, he hasn't changed anything and is back to this BS, because that's what it is, about Democrats allowing women to get abortions in the eighth, ninth, and after birth. Calvin, play that clip, please.
She wants abortions in the eighth and ninth month of pregnancy. That's fine with her, right up until birth, and even after birth, the execution of a baby, because that's not abortion, that's the execution of a baby.
Donald Trump yesterday at a rally in North Carolina, so I texted Dr. Kristen Lierley just with an ugh, and she said, you know what, I actually have time tomorrow. So here is Dr. Kristen Lierley joining us. Thank you so very much for adjusting some things for us, Dr. Lierley. How are you doing?
I'm so good. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about this, because this is one thing that gets under my skin like nothing else, because it is a frank lie, but people believe it. He says these words and people really think this is happening. So if you leave this conversation with nothing more than this today, please remember this. Democrats don't want abortion up until the time of birth and sometimes after. That is not true.
It's so insulting, Dr. Lierley, and so it's just insulting. And the idea that a woman is going to carry a child until the eighth month and get the room ready and get little clothes purchased and then come in at 8.5 months and say, you know what, I changed my mind. I'm not ready for this lifestyle choice. That doesn't happen.
It doesn't even make sense. And I think when people actually think about it, like if you can have this conversation with someone who believes this and make them think about it, they will recognize that it doesn't make sense. They're just hearing it and they're just buying it. So, I mean, let's talk about what happens when abortion happens later in pregnancy. We know most abortions occur very early in a pregnancy, but when abortion happens late in pregnancy, these are desired pregnancies. These are typically people who are at that point in their pregnancy where they can get the ultrasound right around 20 weeks. That's when we perform an ultrasound, because we know we can see all of the structures and we can tell what's going on with the baby. And this is where we often find these anomalies, these problems that are inconsistent with life or that can put the mother's life in danger. And this is where we have to make really difficult, heartbreaking decisions.
Can you be more specific about some, not that you have to list all of the anomalies, but again, it's not, people aren't getting an ultrasound and saying, you know, my child's not going to be 6 feet tall, I changed my mind. That's right. No, but that's kind of the implication. Mm-hmm. And no, that's not what we're talking about.
No, it's not like that. These are babies that don't have brains. These are babies where their organs have developed outside of their bodies. Their hearts don't have four chambers. They have to so many things can happen during fetal development that we in the general public don't know about. And often as patients, when you are faced with these really unusual, incredibly difficult diagnoses, you have hard decisions to make. And these are decisions that actually tear families apart. You know, think about it. You're a young couple, you're excited about this baby, and you're confronted with a baby that's not going to survive. And you have to make this decision about what you do next based on your beliefs, based on your support structure, based on your resources. But only you can make that decision, because only you walk in your shoes and only you have a baby that is dealing with these specific concerns. And this underlines more than anything why we can't let the government make our personal healthcare decisions for us, because these decisions are tricky and nuanced and deeply personal.
I think one of the problems we face, though, doctor, and you know, I could listen to you talk about this all day long. I've learned so much about this subject matter over the past year and a half, 2 years. The problem is that if you say to someone who believes in life as begins at conception, no exceptions, and believes the rhetoric of Donald Trump saying before, during, and after, they're going to say, one, how do you know that no woman's ever done that because she just felt like it? It's like, well, I have no, like you say, it doesn't happen. I believe it doesn't happen either. But they're going to say, well, how do you know? It's like, well, of course, I don't know every person, every woman. And the other thing, too, is using the information you say of things like, you know, poorly developed organs, no brain, no possible way of having a viable life. Even when you say things like that, they say, well, you don't know. I'm like, well, I had a doctor tell me. And then they say, do you really know? That's almost to the point now where I can't have those conversations with those individuals because there's no amount of evidence, proof otherwise that I can give them that can make them even listen to me, let alone change their mind.
Well, they put the burden of proof on you to prove it. I would put it back on them to prove it. You know, like, tell me about an instance where this has happened, because it's not real. Yeah. So I look forward to hearing that.
I look forward to you showing your work.
Right. But there are so many people out there who are stepping up and telling these stories. And as a doctor, it makes me angry that we are forcing people like Amanda Zerkowski and my friend Anna Igler to have to stand behind a microphone and bare their souls and tell these. I mean, you have no idea what these families go through. I helped a family go through something like this a decade ago, and we are still so deeply connected with each other. Anytime we see each other in the grocery store, you can just feel that energy, because it is a life-determining scenario. So if you don't have personal experience here, you really don't have the ability to understand what's happening and to make that judgment. And anyone who believes that life begins at conception and that is what they are basing their decision making on, that's great. If that is your set of beliefs, then you can make your personal decisions based on your beliefs. But you can't impose your beliefs on someone else who is actually going through this.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is our guest, and we're talking about the former president at a rally yesterday, continuing to hammer the lie that Democrats want abortion in the eighth and ninth and after birth, which is a lie. It is not a thing. And Dr. Lierley, you pointed out some instances where, say, a child develops in the womb without the organs are outside of its body. Mm-hmm. When a couple is presented with that, they have the option to continue that pregnancy, even though the outcome is that this infant is not going to live. But that's still their choice, correct?
100%. It is so important anytime you're faced with a medical situation, whether it's related to a pregnancy or not, it is so important that you know what's happening, what all the potential options are, and what the risks and benefits are. So I have a friend who went through infertility treatment. She's an OBGYN doctor, and she ended up getting pregnant after her third cycle of IVF. They were over the moon. Mm-hmm. And her baby was diagnosed with a condition where the middle of the brain didn't develop. This baby was not going to survive. And they knew that. But she also knew that this was likely the only baby she would ever have. And they decided to carry this baby to term. And she gave birth and they brought her home. And Karina lived with them in hospice for 5 days. And she died in her mother's arms. And that was exactly what she wanted and what she needed. I'll tell you that I've taken care of other patients in very similar situations who have said, I need to not continue this pregnancy. It's not healthy for me. It's not healthy for me physically or emotionally. And I need to know what my options are. So everyone has to be able to make their own decision. And think about it this way. It doesn't just affect you right now. It affects you for the rest of your life. It affects your relationships. Couples break up over scenarios like this. So we have to ensure that people have the support and the information they need to be able to make these difficult decisions.
We've had a caller from Eau Claire, I want to say, who has shared the story that his wife suffered a miscarriage. A miscarriage is technically medically a spontaneous abortion. That's the technical medical term for a miscarriage, is a spontaneous abortion. And this probably happened to her a decade ago. And she still struggles with that term because of all the negative connotations that abortion carries with it.
Politicians have done this to us.
Yes.
Politicians have loaded that term and made it shameful and made it difficult for us to talk about. And I know it's hard to talk about. And most of us don't want to be talking about it, but we have to talk about it. Because if we don't, we will lose access to fundamental health care. And I'm not just talking about abortion. We all know that contraception is on the line. 99% of us who are sexually active have used some sort of contraception in our lifetime. So this affects nearly all of us. And it affects people who are seeking infertility treatment. If you really want people to be able to build their families, you have to support IVF. And it gets ethically tricky for people who believe that life begins at conception. But you can't be an absolutist here. You truly have to think about people, what their needs are, what information is out there, how can we best provide them with healthcare and ensure that they can make their own personal medical decisions.
And that's one of the things when you bring up IVF is that if they were to outlaw IVF tomorrow, it would still be available to those who have access. Because we always hear stories about people who rail against abortion. Then you find out they had an abortion, or the guy made his, you know, mistress have an abortion. Like the hypocrisy that will just grow from it. Because if someone wants to have a baby and they have the means, they're going to find a way to do it. And so this idea that they say, like, we can't have IVF. Well, no, some will have it. We might not be able to access it. But the very rich, the very privileged, the very connected will be able to do it. And it just makes no sense to me. Because that initial outcry when Alabama tried to outlaw it first, they were like, why are we doing this? And then it slowly snowballed into, oh, yes, we shouldn't do this. And then the Southern Baptist Council said, oh, we were against IVF. And now all of a sudden, it's a dirty term.
What is the status of what's going on in Alabama, Dr. Lyerly? Do you know?
So my friends who practice infertility medicine in Alabama are telling me that they have patients whose embryos are still being held hostage in Alabama because they're afraid to transport these embryos, because if there were a lab error where these embryos were to be accidentally destroyed, because they are considered people in Alabama, they could be fined. There could be, I believe it's criminal charges. So they can't get their embryos out of Alabama so they can take them to another state and start their families. And I would, to your point, Greg, I just want to point out that Ron Johnson's grandkids are IVF kids. Mike Pence's own children are IVF children. So this is available for people with privilege. It's just not available for the rest of us.
Well, Ron Johnson doesn't really want to talk about stuff like that, Dr. Lyerly. Ron Johnson has many, many, many other concerns that get him on Fox News. This just isn't one of them. Do you have time to stay for one more?
I'd love to.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is our guest. Please stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. Oh, You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy, and this is your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm talking about using coupons to save on prescription drugs. Pharmaceutical coupons are different than coupons at, say, the grocery store. I am not talking about saving you 50 cents on a box of mac and cheese. It is common for pharmaceutical coupons to save you as much as 80% on the drugs that you need. I mean, this could be hundreds of dollars. So how do you find them? Well, you start with the websites GoodRx and SingleCare. Those are services that focus exclusively on prescription coupons. Now, you should also ask your doctor and at the pharmacy counter about manufacturers' coupons or programs. But you have to ask. Sometimes the pharmacy has a sign-up program direct with the manufacturer, but you can't find it online, and they aren't allowed to tell you about it unless you ask. That was today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. I reached out to her last minute yesterday after Donald Trump spoke at a rally in North Carolina, continuing the massive lie that Democrats encourage abortion in the 8th, 9th, and apparently 10th month, which also isn't a thing. Neither is abortion after birth. And so I wanted to have Dr. Lyerly on to clarify some of these things. And again, Dr. Lyerly, if there is a late-term abortion, it is typically because there are anomalies that are not consistent with life, right?
That's correct. Or they put the life of the mother in danger. These are very, as I said earlier, nuanced, tricky, highly individualized situations that require very personal decision making. You can't legislate this stuff.
Not at, what Greg had mentioned earlier, how much he's learned in the last year and a half, 2 years that you've been on, and so have I, just to appreciate how every pregnancy is so very different. Mm-hmm. Not just woman to woman, but child to child. Your first child could be a piece of cake. Your next child could be a completely different delivery and a much different process.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the stories I could tell. I mean, just the other night at the hospital, I was taking care of a woman who was having her fourth baby, and I thought I was going to have to do a C-section for her fourth baby. Like, that should have been the easiest delivery ever. You can never predict what's going to happen, which is something I love about my job. Everybody, whether it's delivering babies or sitting in the office talking about birth control or menopause, it doesn't matter. It's so important to hear what my patients are saying so that we can not just solve that one problem, but think about it holistically. How is this affecting your whole life? How can we move forward and take that next step, recognizing that we're all changing as we age? So this, you can't isolate this abortion conversation into this very black and white place where politicians want it to be. It is part of the fabric of who we are and our healthcare.
This listener listening in Oshkosh on WIS says, Dr. Kristen's story has me bawling in the car. Tom from LA has a great question, and we're going to play this clip when now Vice President and soon to be Democratic nominee for President Kamala Harris was a member of the Senate questioning Brett Kavanaugh as he was being questioned on whether or not he should take a place on the Supreme Court. This is about reproductive justice. Calvin, let's play that clip.
Can you think of any laws that give government the power to make decisions about the male body?
I'm happy to answer a more specific question. But
male versus female.
There are medical procedures.
Dudes versus chicks.
That the government has the power to make a decision about a man's body?
I thought you were asking about medical procedures that are unique to men.
I'll repeat the question. Can you think of any laws that give the government the power to make decisions about the male body?
I'm not thinking of any right now, Senator.
Tough question, boy. Yeah. Stumble. Let me kill a little time. Yeah, there aren't any.
Do you like beer, Senator? I like beer. I love what she asked the question, and it's just, I think it feels like a minute, but it's like 10 seconds of pure silence.
Mm-hmm. That's because there is, men would never stand for a national anything in regards to their bodies.
No.
What if we required boys when they turn 16 to get a vasectomy? And then once they can prove their financial and emotional maturity, then they can have it reversed and therefore impregnate someone. I'm sure men all over the country would just welcome that plan.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm a man. I don't like that. You can't legislate me. That's my body, my choice. My body, my choice.
As the mom of four boys, I have to say the conversations we have about this, because my kids are all of reproductive age, so this matters to them.
Yeah.
And they have a very different take on it. You'll notice that these Gen Z folks are, they're very careful and very thoughtful in their approach to contraception, because, you know, they're directly affected by this. We talk about it in hypotheticals, like, I'm never having a baby again. I don't ever have to worry about contraception.
Right.
But it is something they think about every single day. And it's not just, which pill do I want to use? Or is there a different method? It's like, what are my periods like? And I talked with someone yesterday who 1 week out of every month, her periods are so disabling that she struggles to work.
Yep.
And she holds a job where she has to be able to focus. She is a high achieving professional. Mm-hmm. This is debilitating for her. Men don't have to deal with any of this. So we need options. We need contraception, not just to prevent unplanned pregnancies, but to treat other gynecological disorders so that we can continue to live our lives and participate in society and do all the things that we need to do. Again, this is so much more than just, are you pro-choice or pro-life? Those labels are out the window. It's anti-abortion and for people to be able to make their own personal medical decisions. Those are the camps.
We don't have a lot of time left, Dr. Lyerly. I always love to play this clip when we have the opportunity, because sure, you're an OBGYN, but I don't know, what do you really know, lady? We do have Representative Joel Kitchens from Wisconsin, who knows about pregnancy. Calvin, quickly, let's play that clip.
The question is whether abortion is health care. And if you believe that a fetus is a human life, then abortion is not health care. You know, in my veterinary career, I did thousands of ultrasounds on animals.
Moo?
You know, determining pregnancy and that kind of thing. So I think I know mammalian fetal development better than probably anyone here. And in my mind, there's absolutely no question that's a life. And I think the science backs me up on that.
If you knew mammals like I knew mammals, you would
if
know.
If you knew mammals like I know mammals,
you'd know what I know better than you.
The Dr. Joel Kitchens story. If you knew mammals. Dr. Lyerly, I wanted to share with you a text from Liz listening on WAUK in Saukville. She said, thank you, Dr. Lyerly, for your perspective, for opening my eyes. I'm 100% pro-choice now. And I think she probably thinks in the same way you're saying. It's like, free to make your own decisions. I mean, that's wonderful to hear.
Thank you, Liz. We all deserve that.
Absolutely. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, our friend, thank you so very, very much for adjusting things so you could join us today. Really appreciate it. I hope we will talk to you again very soon.
You know I love hanging out with you guys.
Take care. News is coming up next. When we return, Kelly Nelson will be here to talk about all the things going on at the Pewaukee Public Library. I hope you'll stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, do you know Republicans are trying to amend the Wisconsin Constitution again? Would you be surprised to know that it's all a bunch of garbage? Probably not. I'll explain.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah,
That was a lot better than the original person.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.